Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 14, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. Of course, John shows Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the all who believe in Him have eternal life, and of course, it's simply by faith. We're in a special section of the book. It's called the Upper Room Discourse. It's basically chapters 13 through 17. It's Jesus' final night with His men before He goes to the cross. He's having the Passover meal. He's had a public ministry in which He's taught and been all over the place. Now these final chapters here are actually His private ministry, His last night with His men before he goes to the cross. He's teaching them and giving final instructions. Now this morning as we look at the passage, once again, Jesus deals with the subject of love and obedience. And He basically says, if you love Him, you'll obey Him. And the bottom line is this, if you love God, if you love Jesus, you will obey. If you're not obeying, you're not loving. Now, this has nothing to do with salvation. This is where you are. If you're loving God, you are obeying Him, and you'll love Him. And if you are not obeying Him, you're not loving Him. He also does this. He also talks about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this passage this morning, those two things stand out, love and obedience and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk for a minute about love for a second. Love is powerful. Love can move mountains. People will do almost anything for love. They'll give up their lives for love. As we look at the Word of God, God's plan for us is based on God's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God, His beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved us and gave Himself up for us as a sacrifice and fragrant offering to God. God's Word commands believers to love one another. Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. He later on added to it and changed it. He basically says, a new commandment that I give you, you love others as I have loved you. How do we show our love? How do we show our love for God? By our actions. Some people say love is a feeling, but love has feelings connected with it, but love is actually action. This morning, Jesus talks about loving God. And He actually says something. He said back in verse 15, if you look at John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus already said this. Here's what He said. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. If you love Me, you'll do what I say. You'll obey the Scripture. He's going to say the same thing this morning in a little different way. Look at verse 21. He who has My commandments and keeps them is the one who loves Me. He says the same thing. He says it just in a little different way. So that's what we're seeing. And so here's our question. How do we show our love for Christ? We obey Him. You want to show God you love Him? Live according to the Scripture. Do what He says. Well, as we begin, let's think about where we are. We're in the Upper Room Discourse. It's Passover night. Jesus is teaching. He's teaching the men for the final time before He goes to the cross, because by the time this night is over, He'll be arrested, tried three times by the Jews, three times by the Romans. 9 o'clock in the morning, He's put on the cross. So that's what's going to happen. He, in John 14, Jesus is trying to encourage them. He's already said, in fact, they're already sad because He said He's leaving. He said, I'm going away. He's told them that one of them will betray Him, and He's even said that one of them will deny Him. But He's told them some good things. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you in My Father's house. There are many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I told you. I'm going to get a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. He told them that He was leaving, that they couldn't go and follow Him now. We talked last week where Jesus actually talked about the Holy Spirit, and He said, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but He is now going to be in you, which is amazing. And for us, whenever a person trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit actually comes to live inside of us. At this time, it didn't happen that way. In fact, the Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them. Jesus said, it's going to change. As we continue this morning, we've slowed down the study. In fact, we've been going, I don't want to say fast because we hadn't, because we've been in about a year and a half and we're in John 14. But as you know, as you go through the book of John, there's so much there. And as we go through the narrative, we see the stories. But when you get into chapter 14 and chapter 15 and 16 and 17, you slow down because Jesus is teaching. We're seeing His ministry to these men. I want you to think about His life for just a second. Think about Jesus left the glories of heaven. We saw the Philippian passage where it says that He humbled Himself, left the glories of heaven, become a human being, become a slave, humbled Himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ became a human being. He was born in Bethlehem. And right after He was born, not very long after His birth, within the first 2 years, they went to Egypt, stayed there probably for 3 or 4 years. He was probably 5 or 6 when they came back. They moved to Nazareth. They stayed to Nazareth. The only time we know about His life up to that point was when He was 12 years old. He came to Jerusalem with His family. While He was there, He was in the temple, and He was raising questions and answering questions and things in front of all the teachers, they marveled at this little boy, this 12-year-old boy, what he could know. And then he went back home, and at age 30, he began a ministry. And why age 30? Because the high priest, the priest of Israel, began their ministry at age 30. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He began his ministry at age 30 because he's come as the great high priest to offer the final sacrifice for sin forever. The final sacrifice for sin is himself as he dies for us. And so we see Jesus with his ministry, and he's been doing all of these things. And now, the night before he goes to the cross, they're in an upper room. They've eaten the Passover meal. Judas has already left, and they're in that room, and Jesus is teaching them. And he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I've told you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. Where I am, you will be also." "You know the way where I'm going." Thomas said, "We don't know the way you're going." Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life." We've been seeing that he's been teaching them all these different things. And as we look at this passage this morning, he's going to show two things. Let me break down the passage. Number one, obedience shows our love for Christ. He's going to say, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's a question that every one of us could ask right now. Are we living by the scriptures? Are we obeying the truths and principles from the Word of God? If we are, we're loving God. If we're not, we're not loving God. We're going to see that. The second thing, that's verses 21 through 24. Then the second thing, we're going to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's verses 25 and 26. Let's begin. That final night, they're upset. He's leaving them. He told them that he's going to die and rise again. And because he lives, they will live. And that is the greatest truth at all. Because when, see, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for sin. But when he rose from the grave, he conquered death. And that's true for every person. Well, here's what he says. Look back at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's saying, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Love results in obedience. We show our love to God by obeying him. Now he's going to bring up the same point again. He's going to say it a little different way, but it's the same thing. Look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now notice what he says. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Simply put is, if you keep the word of God, if you live by the scripture, you're loving God. He says, who keeps them loves me. If you love me, you'll obey me. If you're obeying me, you're loving me. If you love Jesus, you will do what he says. And so the bottom line for us is, obedience shows our love for Christ. And let's just face it. If I'm living in the flesh, if I'm doing things that are contrary to the scripture, I'm not loving God, I'm loving me. I'm wanting to do what I want to do. I'm wanting to fulfill the lust of my flesh and my desires. But if I'm living by the scripture and I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm showing my love for God. And that's what he says. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. When you see the word commandments, it sometimes bothers us because we think of law. And we think of, you know, the Ten Commandments and all that. I want you to understand the commandments were the Old Testament commandments. There were actually 618 of them. Some say 613, some say 618, just according to how you count them. So sometimes I'll say 613, sometimes I'll say 618. That way nobody really knows. But anyway, the bottom line is under the Old Testament commandments, there was the law, which were the Ten Commandments, which we always talk about, which were the moral code. Then there were the ordinances, which were the sacrificial system, which all the sacrifices, priesthood, all those things. And then there was a section called the judgments, which were the statutes, the regulations, how they lived, what food they ate, all those kind of things. That all was under the law. Now, the law could not save a person. First of all, you can't keep the law. The whole purpose of the law was to show you that you needed a Savior. And see, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, and we come to God by faith. Not by law, not by our works, but simply by faith. And so, think about this. Salvation is by faith. And the whole Christian life is a walk of faith, obeying, and notice, obeying God's word. I always say it this way. The Christian life is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the word of God. We have commands. Now, I want you to understand something. That the Bible, in the New Testament, has all kind of commands and principles and truths we're to obey. It's not the law. It's not the Mosaic law. In fact, it is called the law of Christ. Okay, the commands that Jesus speaks are all based not on law, but on love. This is called the law of Christ. Another place it's called the law of love. So the commands that Jesus Christ has given us, and what we find not only in the Gospels, but in the books, the epistles, the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, Galatians, all of those books, those are all commands and principles. It's not law, but it's actually called the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Jesus said that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, that all the commands fall under one thing, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and the second one is equal to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus came back and said, a new commandment I give you, that you love others as I have loved you. So the whole aspect of the New Testament is not a law system, but a love system. He calls it the law of Christ, but it's the law of love, in which if we love him, we will do what? We will obey him. We will live according to the scripture. So as I said a while ago, look at your life, look at my life. If I'm living according to the word of God, and I want my life to count for Christ, and I'm living according to the things he has for me to do, I'm showing my love for him. If I live for the flesh, doing what I want to do, and I'm contrary to the scripture, I'm not loving him. That's what he says. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. James said, don't just be hearers of the word of God, be doers of the word of God. Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord and to practice it and then pass it on to others. He says this, he who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. He's not talking about salvation. Some people say, well, if you don't love God, you're not a Christian. It has nothing to do with it. You can be, you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life, you go into heaven, you're saved and saved forever, and you live in the flesh, you're not loving God. If you love God, you'll obey him. That's what he's talking about. It has nothing to do with salvation, it has to do with our lifestyle. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Now look what he does. He's going to show the results of loving God and living for him. Watch. And he who loves me, goes on in the sentence, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now, he's talking about fellowship here, because God the Father already loves us, God the Son already loves us, but he's saying this, when you live according to the Scripture, there will be a fellowship with the Father and the Son. Notice how we have it here. The Father loves, Jesus loves, and he reveals himself. Notice, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, as Jesus talking, and will disclose myself to him. He says, when you obey the word of God and show your love for God, God the Father will show you his love for you. Jesus Christ will show you his love. And notice at the end of the verse, it says, and will disclose myself to him. Jesus says, I will make myself known to you. Now, what does that mean, I will disclose myself? Some people say it means he was talking about when he comes back from the dead. I don't think that's what he's talking about. Some people say he's talking about at the time of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit lives inside believers and helps them understand God. I think that's probably it. The third one is the rapture, that he'll disclose himself when he comes in the clouds. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I think what he's saying is this. When you love me and obey me, there'll be a love by my Father, there'll be a love by me, and I will make myself known to you. That's a fellowship type knowing. Remember Paul said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? You could say to Paul, I thought you already knew Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, I know him as Savior, but I want to know him in a fellowship way. And that's what we want to do. We want to know him in a fellowship way. Not only do we know him as Savior because we believe that he died for us on the cross and paid for our sins and we have eternal life and we go into heaven and we know him as Savior, we want to know him in a fellowship way. And what do? He says, you keep my commandments. When you obey me, it shows me you love me. And when you love me, you'll be loved by my Father. There's that fellowship there. And I will love you. There's that fellowship there. And I will make myself known to you. Wow. It's powerful. We're going to see the same thing in chapters 15 and 16 where his Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus Christ. The point is this. The one who loves, Jesus says, the one who loves me obeys me and builds a deeper fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, right after that, and we'd say to ourselves, wow, that's deep. Well, they didn't exactly get it either. One of the guys there is named Judas. Now, not Judas Iscariot. This guy's name was Judas Thaddeus, okay? I think I put it right up here. His name is Judas Thaddeus, okay? Now, to be real honest, after Judas did his thing, most people didn't go around naming their kids Judas anymore, right? It's true. I mean, but let me tell you, Jude, Jesus' half-brother was named Jude. This guy's name is Judas, Jude. And after Judas betrayed Jesus, after that, instead of going by Judas, most of them started saying, "Hey, Jude," right? And so they began to be known by Jude, not Judas. And so Judas, not Iscariot. Where's Judas Iscariot? He's already gone. He's already left the room. He's already gone to get the people to come back and arrest Jesus to betray him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Because he understands that Jesus is saying, "I'm going to make myself known to you in a greater way." And Judas, not Iscariot, Thaddeus says, wait a minute. I thought the plan was that you reveal yourself to the world as the Savior. Isn't that the plan? He thought Jesus had come to proclaim to the world that he was the Savior. Jesus isn't talking about salvation here. He's talking about fellowship with believers. That's what he's doing. He's not talking about salvation, but fellowship. And so look how he answers. See, this whole thing is fellowship, not salvation. And to know him salvation-wise comes by faith. That's relationship. But to know him in fellowship comes by obedience. So look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words." Same thing again. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." What in the world is he talking about? He says, if anybody loves me, he will obey me. He will keep my word. I think the next slide says something about that, I think. He will keep my word. See, he's back to the same truth. You love me, you obey me. Now look what happens. Remember, he's talked about this fellowship. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. What does that mean? Because we already know from biblical truth that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you, God the Father lives in you, and Jesus Christ lives in you. What does it mean now, though, that if you obey him and keep his commandments and do what he says, the Father will come and Jesus will come and make their abode with you? Well, let me explain something to you. The word abode literally means feeling at home. It means make a place at home. When we love and obey, the Father and Son love and feel at home in us. Let me ask you this question. If you have sin in your life, do you think the Father and the Son feel at home inside of you when you have sin in your life? What's the answer? The answer is no. If you do not have sin in your life and you're living according to the Scripture and you're loving him and obeying him and keeping the word, do you think the Father and the Son feel at home inside of you? The answer is yes. That's what he's saying. Now, he's told them, if you got my commandments and you keep them, that's the one who loves me. And the Father and the Son will come be with you and be close with you. Judas didn't get it, and he said, I don't get it. I thought you were supposed to tell everybody about you. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about fellowship. If you obey me, we will come be at home inside of you. Wow. That's really, really powerful. He goes on to say in the next verse, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Simply put, if we are not obeying the word of God, we are not loving God. It's that simple. That's what he's saying. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Because there are people who say, well, if you don't love God, it just proves you're not a Christian. If you're living for yourself, if you're not obeying the Scripture, you're not loving God, you're loving you. That's what he's saying. He who does not love me does not keep my words, does not obey the Scripture. And then he says, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. He said, this message I'm telling you is not my message. This is the message from the Father. See, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to the earth to give the message of the Father. He said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the will of the Father. That's why it says that God highly exalted him because he did what he was supposed to do. He's come to do the message. Now, here's a question for you. How do we know if we are loving God? Answer, we obey the word. We live according to the Scripture. Remember, it's not law. Mosaic law was laws, 613, 618, whatever, and all these laws that people had to keep and they couldn't keep. The law of Christ is the law of love. And as we love and as we obey the Scripture, we're showing our love for God and our love for others. So how do you know if you're loving God? You obey Him. How do we show that we're loving God? We live according to the Word of God. It's powerful truth. Summary. If we love Him, we'll obey Him. That simple. Now from there, he moves on, and I wanted to get these next two verses so that we can see how they fit together. From there, he's going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Five times in the upper room discourse, Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. Five times. Last time he taught that the Holy Spirit had been with them and was going to be inside them. It was a great change. All throughout the Bible, from Adam and Eve, Old Testament, all the way up to Christ, the Holy Spirit sometimes would come upon a person to help them do certain things. Came upon King Saul, came upon David, came upon a man named Belial. They did all these things. But the Holy Spirit could come and go. That's why when David wrote Psalm 51, he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me." He didn't mean, "I don't want to lose my salvation," because that Holy Spirit didn't have anything to do with salvation then. The Holy Spirit would come for power. David knew that because of his sin, he was afraid that God might take the Holy Spirit away from him. Had nothing to do with salvation. Now the change happened. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit has been with you. He's going to be in you. And the great truth, not many days after this, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Holy Spirit came out of heaven and came and put the believers together into the body of Christ and began to live in every believer. That's why when you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live inside you. That's why the Bible says, "What do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." That's 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. So last time we saw that Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit is going to come to live inside people. This time he teaches about the ministry of the Holy Spirit who teaches and illuminates the Scripture. Watch what he says. He says, "These things I've spoken to you while I was abiding with you." Now, Jesus says, "I've been teaching you all these things because I've been here with you. For three and a half years, I've been going along. I've been teaching you truths. I've been showing you things." But he's already told him he's about to leave. So look what he says. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Now, we've seen the Holy Spirit mentioned before, and he says here, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, come in my name." The Holy Spirit is the teacher. I think the next slide, isn't it? The one that has paraclete. Yeah, there it is. He calls it the Helper, which is the Greek word paraclete. Para, which means beside. Kaleo means to call. So to call beside means someone called beside to help. The Holy Spirit's called the Helper. And he says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you." In other words, Jesus says, "I'm leaving. I've been teaching you all this time, but I'm going. After I go, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be your teacher." Watch what he says that the Holy Spirit's going to do. He says, "But the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Now, he's going to do two things. He's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance. First of all, he's going to give new revelation. He's going to teach them all things. After Jesus left, if you remember, Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again 3 days later, walked on the earth for 40 days, ascended into heaven. 10 days after that, on the Feast of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came down, started the church, and began a particular ministry. And one aspect of the ministry is the Holy Spirit taught them, gave them new things. He will teach them all things. What we have as the New Testament, what we have as the books of Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians and 1 and 2 Timothy and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Acts and all of those books, those are all ministries of the Holy Spirit coming upon people and giving new revelation, especially to these disciples. That's why 2 Timothy 3 says all Scripture is inspired by God. And that's why 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says people, men were moved by the Holy Spirit to give us the Scripture. So the Holy Spirit gave us what we call the New Testament. Actually, the Holy Spirit gave us the whole Bible. But he's particularly talking about the revelation that's coming after he leaves. But there's something else. He says, "And I'm also going to bring to remembrance," he says, "and the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all that I said to you." That's what I call the old revelation. In other words, reminding them what Jesus had taught. Now, let me ask you this. Jesus taught a lot of things in 3.5 years. They didn't write all that down. How are they going to remember what he taught? I mean, we have Matthew teaching us the Sermon on the Mount, right? We have John teaching us. How do they remember these things? They didn't. You didn't see John writing down Sermon on the Mount as Jesus was talking. Don't, you're going too fast. You know, he didn't. So some years later, and they'd say, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? The Holy Spirit brought to remembrance what he had taught them, what he had said to them. That's how we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. That's where the Holy Spirit reminded them the things Jesus taught them. What John, who wrote the Gospel of John, has written down right here in the power of the Holy Spirit is exactly what Jesus said. Maybe 40 years after he said it. How could they do that? The Holy Spirit revealed it. So he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and he will bring to remembrance all the things that I've said. Well, I want you to remind you of something. The revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. That's the scripture. Illumination is the Holy Spirit helping us to understand the scripture. For all of us, we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he's given us, through people, this revelation. We got it. It's called inspiration, which is the inspired word of God, which is revelation written down. We have it. Then the Holy Spirit illuminates the scripture so that as we study it, we can go, oh yeah, that's what that means. I see that. Holy Spirit illuminates the scripture. Listen to this. This is John 16, verses 12 through 15. I think I've got it right there. Listen to what it says. Jesus is talking. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you in all truth. He'll not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will disclose it to you. He'll glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. That's Jesus talking 2 chapters later, telling them the same thing. The Holy Spirit's going to come give them information, both new and old. He's going to give them new revelation. He's going to remind them what Jesus has already taught. That's the New Testament. That's what we have. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher to help us to understand. So think about it. It's powerful. What have we seen? We've seen that love is shown by our obedience. Or another way to say it, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you keep my commandments, you love me. And that as we love him, and as we obey the scripture, there will be a fellowship with the Father and the Son, and he will reveal himself to us even more. We'll know more about him. Second, Holy Spirit's going to come to these guys, and he's going to be their teacher. He's going to remind them the things Jesus already taught, and he's going to give them new information, which became what we'd say the New Testament. And then we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the scripture. So let me give you 2 applications. First, let's show our love by obeying the scripture. Let's show our love for God. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Let's live according to the word of God. Let's make a decision that we want to live our lives based on the scripture. You know, our relationship comes by faith, but our fellowship comes by obedience. That's why we should know and apply the scripture. That's why we should dig the word of God and understand it so that we can say, here's what the scripture says. I'm going to live this out in my life. Now remember, it's not a law system. It's a love system. If you love me, you'll obey me. That's the key. Second, let's know the word of God. The Holy Spirit comes to teach us that. And now for these guys, the Holy Spirit came, reminded them the things Jesus already taught, and gave them new information. We're not getting new information. It's done. We have the complete word of God. It is inspired. It is perfect. It is the revelation from God, and we have it. You got it. Now, what we're supposed to do is study it and apply it in our lives. Know the word of God and make application. That's why dig the word, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God, rightly dividing the scripture. We're to dig the word of God so that we can know it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is illuminating the scripture for us. So may we, in the power of the Holy Spirit, know God's word and then obey God's word, showing God that we love him and growing in our knowledge of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths. Thank you, Lord, that as we obey you, if we keep your commandments, it shows that we love you. And Lord, as we love you, then we'll feel and understand even in a deeper way the love of the Father and the love of the Son, and you will be able to understand you and see you, and it's just see you in a different light through the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for that. So may we obey you. May we love you by obeying you. Lord, second, may we know the Scripture. We know that the Holy Spirit illuminated and came and taught them and brought to remembrance things. And Lord, we have the Scripture now. So may we spend the time to dig the Word of God so that we can know it and apply it in our lives and pass it on to others, so that we can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us, so that we can live in such a way that we obey Him and have that fellowship one with another and that fellowship with our God, our Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for all of these things. But most of all, thank you for our Savior Jesus, who gives us eternal life as a gift by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name.